Sometimes we can't see how they could. Struggles that break our hearts in two sometimes blind us to the truth. Our Father knows what's best for us. His ways are not our own. So when your pathway grows dim and you just don't see Him, remember you're never alone. God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see His plan, when you can't trace His hand, trust His heart.
He sees the master plan. He holds the future in His hand. So don't live as those who have no hope. All our hope is found in Him. We see the present clearly, but He sees the first and the last.
And like a tapestry weaving you and me to someday be just like Him. God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see His plan, when you can't trace His hand, trust His heart. He alone is faithful and true. He alone knows what is best for you. God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see His plan, when you can't trace His hand, trust His heart. When you don't understand, when you don't see His plan, when you can't trace His hand, trust His heart. Trust His heart.
That's a great song. Appreciate that. Not only was it a good song, it's a beautiful accompaniment there. Thank you, Audrey, for that tonight. 1 Corinthians 11. A very familiar passage for the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is where Paul wrote to the church at Corinth about what the Lord had given him concerning the Lord's Supper. I preached a couple of Sunday mornings ago, or last Sunday morning, on the matter of them washing the disciples' feet in John 13 there, and some churches include foot washing as a part of the Lord's Supper. But Paul does not mention washing feet here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And so I believe the foot washing was just something that Jesus did as an example for those disciples in serving one another. And the Lord's Supper involves the passing of the bread and of the cup. And that's what we will do in just a little bit tonight. If you're able to stand in honor of God's word, join me. I begin reading in verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in My blood, this do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. Let's pray. Father, we pray that You'll please help us tonight to realize the full and single purpose of the Lord's table. And I pray, God, that we'll be able to concentrate, focus our attention for these moments on your Son, Jesus Christ, and the price he paid for our redemption. We love you. We understand, Lord, we don't love you like we should, but to some measure we love you tonight, and we know that's only because you loved us first, and you proved it by giving your Son for us. I pray you'll draw our hearts closer to him and you tonight during these moments because of this time. In Christ's name, and amen. Thank you. Be seated. So tonight we observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. This ordinance is a privilege to take part in for any church member. I'm going to keep this as simple as possible tonight. It's been a long week for several people. And tonight I just want us to receive the benefit of this ordinance. Let me say that in short, this ordinance is designed to remind us of Jesus. That's what it's designed to do. It is plain that we are to observe this supper in remembrance of him. Look at the end of verse 24. This do in remembrance of me. Look at the last phrase of verse number 25. In remembrance of me. Again, God does not repeat himself in the Bible because he runs out of something to say. He repeats himself in the Bible for sake of emphasis. This is to remember Jesus. And our remembrance of Jesus is very specific. It's very targeted. Let me say that we are not to remember his preaching and teaching as we observe this ordinance tonight. Although the Bible says, they said about Christ, never man spake like this man. Never man spake like this man. The lessons and the sermons taught and preached by Jesus are above and beyond the greatest ever taught by anyone. But we are not to remember his teaching and his preaching. We are not to remember his miracles. Although the Bible says he went about doing good. And whether it was feeding thousands of people with a few pieces of bread and a few pieces of fish, or healing a cripple, or cleansing a leper, or raising one from the dead, this ordinance is not about those miraculous events and those miracles. That's not what it's about. We're not to remember his miraculous birth or his miraculous life. His birth was without an earthly father, and his life on earth was without sin. We're not to remember his resurrection, although his resurrection proved that he was the Son of God with power. That's what the book of Romans says. So what are we to remember, church? Well, we are to remember his death. That's what we're to remember. We are to remember the price that was paid for our sin debt. We are to remember that he loved us enough to lay down his life for us. We haven't sung for a while that little chorus, why did he go to Calvary? Why was his life's blood shed for me? Why did he suffer as no man has ever done? There's just one reason. I am the one. He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves. It's a beautiful chorus. And that's what we're to remember. We're to remember his death, which was the evidence, the proof of his love for us. Let me say very simply tonight, number one, we are to remember his body. You see that in verse number 24. That's what the bread represents. When the bread is passed in just a little while, it's a symbol. It's symbolic. It's a picture of the body of Jesus Christ. Now, why are we to remember his body? Because it was in his body that our sins were taken to the cross. See, he didn't have a body like an angel's body. He had a body like mine. He had a body like yours. It was in a human body that Jesus bore our sins to the tree. And you know what that means? That means salvation is for human people. It's for people. Now, you know, I thought about this today as I was pondering this. If Jesus had taken the form of an angel, then would there be redemption possibly for the devil? But the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that Jesus was made a little lower than the angels. You know, the angels aren't limited by gravity. They can come and go. They travel between earth and heaven. You and I aren't able to do that. We're directed by the law of gravity. It does some of us good to jump 2 or 3 inches off the ground, much less travel through space. But the angels have a different body than you and I have. But Jesus, the Bible says, was made a little lower than the angels. He was made like unto you and to me. And guess what, folks? Because Jesus was made like unto you and me, that means he was given a human body. And in his human body, he took our sin to the cross. People all over the world, for all time, Jesus tasted death, the Bible says, for every man. And it was a cruel and painful death. And we are to remember his body, because he bore our sins in his own body to the tree. So we're to remember his body. Number two, we are to remember his blood. Look at verse number 25. Verse number 25 talks about the cup. And he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. And when we pass the juice in just a little while, it's not fermented wine. By the way, the bread that we pass is not leavened bread. It's unleavened bread. That's why it has no taste to it. You know, I remember with Cherith, well, with all kids, you know, all kids, they start sitting in church at 3 years of age, you know, and they're not saved, and it's Lord's Supper night, and everybody's passing the plates, you know, and taking a piece of bread and a cup of juice, and they won't, you know, but they're not allowed to have it. And they just don't understand it. And so Cherith had been saved, just a little girl, and, you know, she's listening to me up here in the pulpit talking about the bread representing the body of Jesus Christ. And she got to take the Lord's Supper for the first time. And that unleavened bread has absolutely no taste to it. It just soaks the saliva right out of your mouth. It does it. And you're trying to chew it. And she picked it out of the plate. And she looked at her mother and said, is this the leg? You remember that? And then she ate it. And you think it's bad for you sitting out there. I got to talk after taking the bread. She looked at her mother a second time. And went, I don't like bodies. I don't like bodies. I don't like that. These little kids. But that's what that is. That's unleavened bread. Because leaven in the Bible is a type of sin. And our Lord's body was without sin. So we pass unleavened bread. Well, it doesn't matter. Well, you know what? If we didn't have the potential for unleavened bread, maybe we'd pass crackers or whatever. But you can get unleavened bread. And since we can get unleavened bread, that's what we'll use. Because it's a good picture of our Savior's body. And the cup is not fermented wine. Because fermented wine is polluted juice. It's rotten juice gone through the fermentation process. And the blood of Jesus Christ was without spot or blemish. Was pure, pure blood. And so we remember his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for our sin. In the Garden of Eden, all the way back for the first sin on earth in the Garden of Eden, God shed the blood of an innocent animal to cover the sin of Adam and Eve. You remember that? And for approximately 4,000 years, animals were slain and their blood applied to the altar to cover the sins of God's people. I was talking about that in my Sunday school class this morning. I don't think we sometimes think through how many sacrifices priests had to offer daily, weekly, monthly. Folks, they had to offer hundreds, I guess, of animal sacrifices. Did you think about that? Hundreds of them. And over time, over 4,000 years, multiplied thousands. And they're slitting the throat and catching the blood and skinning the animal and the unclean parts here and this goes here and the meat goes here. And they had to be up to their elbows in blood. Blood. Why so much blood? Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. There had to be the shedding of blood. And that went on for 4,000 years. And all it did was cover the sins of God's people from one year to the next. And then one day, by the Jordan River, John the Baptist raised his eyes and he pointed his finger and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And he was pointing to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And people, there's a difference in sins being covered and sins being taken away. There never, with all those animal sacrifices, there was never any finalization to the sacrifice of the blood of those animals. There was never any finalization to it. But when his blood was shed, Jesus cried from the cross. Remember? It's finished. It is finished. It was done. And Paul says we are to remember his blood. It was his body that bore our sins to the tree. It was his blood that paid the price of our sin debt to take the sin away. And specifically, that's what we are to remember as we observe this ordinance. We are to remember his body and his blood. His body and his blood. And that's what those elements symbol. This is not about salvation. This is for people who've already been saved. Taking the bread and drinking the juice does not make you a child of God. Does not birth you into the family of God. That does not happen. No. It's a picture of what's already happened in your heart and life. Jesus Christ has become your Savior. His body bore your sins to the tree. His blood was shed for the remission of your sin. And that's what we are to remember. And this is supposed to keep us close to Jesus. It's supposed to be enough to remind us of the great price that He paid for our salvation. It's supposed to be enough to cause us to shun sin, as I talked about this morning, and live for Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. That's the targeted specificity of this observance. His body and His blood. His body and His blood. You know, the unbelieving thief that was hanging next to Jesus said to Him, you remember this, if Thou be the Christ, save Thyself and us. You know what we know about that thief? We know that thief was unbelieving because he said, if Thou be the Christ, if You're the Messiah. Now, I'll tell you something, friend. He was not convinced in his heart that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. And in order for a person to be saved, he has to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So the thief didn't believe that he was the Messiah, wasn't the Son of God. And then the thief, now listen to this, had the purpose for Jesus' coming to earth all wrong. Save thyself. Excuse me. Jesus did not come to save himself. He came to die. That's why he came. And he came to die, not for himself, but for you and for me. And that's what we are to remember. Not as teaching, not as preaching, not as miracles, not as birth, not as life, not all the things that he did, not as resurrection, although that was the exclamation point to the gospel message. We're to remember tonight his body and his blood given so that we could be saved. You know, there's a song in our songbook. Find it. Naomi, would you come to the piano? We might have sung it once or twice over the years if you come on to the piano. Look at 339 in your songbook. That old thief said to Jesus on the cross, he said, if You're the Son of God, if Thou be Christ, save thyself and us. In other words, get us out of this predicament. And I'm glad that Jesus didn't come down. You know, he could have called 12 legions of angels to come and help him. But he never lifted his eyes toward them because he was going to go through with it all the way to the very end. It's a good old song, Lester Roloff, and the girls used to sing it. He didn't come down. Often I stop to think just where I'd be. You know what? Help me sing it tonight. Then we'll get ready here for the Lord. So beautiful old song. It goes like this. Often I stop to think just where I'd be had Jesus come down from that cruel tree. There'd be no hope for man. No peace could be found. Praise God, I'm glad that He didn't come down. Come down. 10,000 angels were camped all around. cross for you and for me. Picture his mother with tears in her eyes as they mocked and scorned him and pierced his side. They said, if thou be king, then come to the ground. But he prayed, forgive them, and he didn't come. Aren't you glad? Amen. He didn't come down. Oh, no, he didn't come down. 10,000 angels were camped all around. He could have called them to set him free. Cross for you and for me. Remember we used to sing that at youth group? Yeah. On the bus. That's a good night, 30, 35, 37 years ago. Did you hear how the chorus ended? For you and for me. That's why I stayed there. And that's what this is about tonight. We remember his body and his blood, which were given for us. Father, we thank you for sending your son to this earth. Without that wonderful plan that was finalized before the foundation of the world in your heart and mind, we would have no hope of heaven. But because Jesus came and because he took our sins in his own body to the cross and because he shed his blood and because he didn't come down, we have salvation. And tonight, we have the privilege and the opportunity and even the responsibility to take a few moments to remember. Our Savior said, this do in remembrance of me. So I ask that for the next several minutes, you'd help every saved person in this room to put aside any cares about yesterday or for tomorrow, any sorrows, any hurts, any disappointments, any exciting plans, all the things that have to do with this world. God, could we lay them aside for a few moments and remember our Lord's body and our Lord's blood. Help us to do that tonight in obedience to you for our own heart's well-being. And I'll thank you. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. We'll ask the ladies to play just for a moment. If you want to say something to the Lord tonight. She plays. If you've been asked to serve the supper tonight, would you come and take your place here at the front? Be seated if you would please tonight. This is the table of the Lord, and we'll observe it in that fashion. If you are a member of a sister church of like faith and practice and good fellowship with the Lord, we'd invite you to fellowship with us tonight. The way we do it here at the church is we pass the bread, and which represents the body of Christ, as I said a moment ago. We hang on to it for a few moments, and we remember till everybody is served. It's not time to think about what bill has to be paid tomorrow, or what you got to do at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, or the doctor's visit on Tuesday. It's time to remember our Savior and what He did for us. Paul said that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, He took bread. And after the fellows pass it, we'll thank Jesus for giving His body, and then we'll eat together. I'll ask the fellows to pass the bread. Beautiful old hymn on 336. If you need the words, Jesus, keep me near the cross. That's what this is designed to do. Let's sing a couple of verses with her. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Bear a precious mountain, free to all a healing stream. From Calvary's mountain, in the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the rift. Let's sing number 3 now. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its saints before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadow. Sing it together now. In the cross, be free ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the Let's sing the last together. Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever. just beyond the river. In the crossing, that's it. My glory ever till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Let's bow our heads, please, as she plays just quietly there on the piano. Did you take a moment just a little bit ago when the bread was being passed to thank the Lord Jesus? Taking your sins in his own body to the cross. Now you relive in your mind what you know the Bible says about the crucifixion and how he was slapped and spit on. His beard was pulled out by their hands. He was buffeted. The crown of thorns smashed down on top of his head, and the nails and the scourging. Why is his father allowing that kind of beating and punishment to go on? Because our sin is being judged on his body. That's because of my sin. That's because of yours. And that's what this ordinance is supposed to do. It's supposed to draw us close to him and remind us that he took our body, our sins, and his own body to the tree. I'm going to ask Jeff Zingery to stand and lift his voice and thank the Lord for going to the cross. Take heed, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Okay. And then he says, after the same manner also, he took the cup. That cup represents the New Testament that was in his blood, pure blood, sinless blood, blood that was shed one time and paid for all of men's sin once, not over and over again. You remember that as we asked the men to pass the juice tonight. Thank you. Psalm 138. Not as familiar a song, but it's sure a good one. The blood that stained the old rugged cross. Let's sing these verses as they finish tonight. On the cross of Calvary, together singing now. On the cross of Calvary, the blessed Savior died, gave his life to save the world from loss. In his pain and agony, for every sin to hide, shed his blood that stained the old rugged cross. Thank you, Lord. So was his blood, his precious blood, that stained the old rugged cross. So was his love that paid the awful cost. Oh, soul so far away, come and plunge today in the blood that stained the old rugged cross. Let's sing the second. To the cross, the rugged cross, they nailed his precious hands, and in death he fully paid the cost. And the world was lost in sin, can now be wholly free in the blood that stained the old rugged cross. It was his blood, his precious blood, that stained the old rugged cross. It was his blood that paid the awful cost. Oh, soul so far away, come and plunge today in the blood that stained the old rugged cross. As she plays, let's bow our heads and think about that for a moment. It's not the picture that's on most people's house, on the walls of their house. It's not a body with a trickle of blood from his forehead, a trickle of blood from his hands and his feet. It's a bloody pulp. Isaiah said his visage was marred more than any man. Hard to believe. That's for me, that's for you. I believe the Lord Jesus shed all of his blood, every drop. And I believe that all of man's sin debt was paid for in that one sacrifice. Every bit of it. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And he did that for you and for me. But Marty, would you stand tonight and lift your voice and thank Jesus for shedding his blood on the cross? Amen. And that's what the ordinance was designed for. Remember his body and his blood. Now, henceforth, go live for him. Amen. Let's stand together. The men are going to take the little cups up so we don't mess up the carpet or the. Let's turn to page number one. Let's sing it tonight. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Page one, as they take up the cups tonight, we'll be dismissed. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And I wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean, sinning. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's blood. Let's sing number four is the last. He took my sins and my sorrows, his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary, and he saw. wonderful as my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful. Love for me. Good night. God bless you. I love you. Have a good week. We'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday. Lord bless you. Bye-bye.